Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to the Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Front Lines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Well, here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Navy Captain Paul Ryan about the Armed Forces Thanksgiving event. Then Art Doc Attaway will discuss our U.S. Army Rangers, and General Chris Petty will share the Battle of the Month. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to introduce retired Navy Captain Paul Ryan. Paul and I have been friends for a long time and have worked together on so many projects, I can't even begin to name them all. He did begin his naval service on active duty and finished in the reserves. Welcome back to the show, Paul.
Hi, Danny. How are you doing?
Awesome. Paul, give our listeners a quick review of your time in the military.
Sure. I am a product of ROTC. Got my commission in the Navy from the ROTC program at the University of Notre Dame in 1975, about 2 weeks after the Vietnam War ended. Was on active duty for 5 years. Three of those years were on a destroyer based out of San Diego, and I made one peacetime deployment with that ship. Finished out my active duty time all in San Diego, 3 years at sea and 2 years ashore there, and then went into the Navy Reserve. Was there for 25 years. I was had command tours with 7 different reserve units and retired from all of that, gosh, a long time ago now, back in 2005.
Yes, sir. And Paul and I were friends when he was still in the reserves. I mean, we fall into the category, I think, of old people, almost, not quite, but sort of getting there.
Oh, yes. Well, I don't know about sort of getting there, Denny, but yeah, we have known each other for 20 years. If it's been a week, it's been 20 years.
I think it's closer to 40 years, but whatever. You know, okay, Armed Forces Thanksgiving. Several years ago, a group of leading businessmen in the greater Grand Rapids, Michigan area, which is where Paul and I live, none of whom were veterans, decided the community needed to honor veterans and help the next generation appreciate veterans too. They formed a committee. One of the people on that committee decided that maybe they should have a military guy on the committee, and he was a friend of mine, so he drafted me, and I showed up. And basically, it's a celebratory thing to honor and recognize veterans, and they do it in May, because I told them May is military month, it is, and they wanted to call it Thanksgiving, so they have a Thanksgiving meal with turkey and stuff, so it's Armed Forces Thanksgiving. And the concept is, they get sponsors for the tables, but at every table, there's at least 2 veterans, and there's at least 4 high school kids, because different high schools are asked to send kids. And the whole purpose, no, not the whole purpose, is for the kids to talk with the veterans, not to be recruited, just to understand the whole thing. Indeed, military recruiters aren't even welcome there. Yes, they have good big name speakers, and it's a really good thing, but it's really an appreciation for veterans and helping the next generation of students make it happen. We've been doing this for a number of years now. Paul came in, one of the few veterans that's on the committee, and he keeps things happening. Paul, what impressed you the most about it when you came in?
I'll tell you, I've been a part of Armed Forces Thanksgiving since the beginning. At first, I was a spectator, just a participant. What impressed me the most, Denny, right from the gate, was this organization, this committee, from a standing start, put together an event the very first year that had well over 500 people attend. My experience in doing events like this, I did this with my civilian job quite a bit, was that you don't tend to get that much traction that quickly with anything. But Armed Forces Thanksgiving really blew that paradigm to bits. I think that the attendance has been sustained throughout the history of these events, these luncheons. Another thing that has impressed me is the repeats. You had mentioned that the purpose of the event is to express gratitude to people who have military service, raise awareness, facilitate dialogue with and express gratitude for military service and sacrifice. A lot of the veterans that I know that have attended, and I probably know 25 or 30 guys and girls that have attended this thing, has been repeat performance. You and I both know that if a veteran engages in something, participates in something that doesn't smell right to them, or their some degree of trust is broken, or a promise is made that isn't really kept, they ain't coming back. But with Armed Forces Thanksgiving, we have a tremendous number of repeat attendees, which I think speaks tremendously highly, not only of the premise on which this event is based, but also the way it's executed. Just outstanding execution. Our keynote speakers are first rate. The entire event is really very, very well done.
They do a good job. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Captain Paul Ryan about the Armed Forces Thanksgiving event in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And the high schools are invited to participate. And if they agree to participate, the deal is they'll send four, ideally junior students and a faculty member. And they all sit at one table with and different companies sponsor tables. They get a couple of people at that table, and there's some veterans there. And that conversation is awesome. And the schools keep coming back. Indeed, some schools are asking, can they have two tables to do it? So, yes, sir, it works. What does it look like this year, Paul? Who's going to be the guest? What's going to go on?
Well, Denny, many of your listeners may or may not know that 2023 is the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Paris Peace Accords. The Paris Peace Accords ended America's combat involvement in Vietnam, but did not end the war itself. That only ended in 1975. And with that in mind, and with the knowledge that, you know, this sort of more obscure part of American history may not be front and center in an average high school history class, Armed Forces Thanksgiving decided that might be a good idea to put in a bit of a Vietnam War theme here. We're emphasizing the Vietnam veterans attendance. All veterans are welcome, make no mistake, but we want to ensure that the participation by our area of Vietnam veterans is robust. To that end, we have invited as our guest speaker this year, Rocky Blyer. Those of your listeners who understand history or know football know that Rocky had played his college ball at Notre Dame, my alma mater, was then drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1968. But as soon as he was drafted by the Steelers, he was drafted a second time by the United States Army and was sent to Vietnam. Rocky was very seriously wounded in action in Vietnam. And when he came back, his doctors were telling him that he may not ever walk again, much less play football. Well, he proved all of them wrong, went back to the Steelers, played on the team, first stringer, and participated as a Pittsburgh Steeler in four of their Super Bowl championships. He's written a book about his experiences, a great story of overcoming some pretty extreme adversity and really highlighting his grit and determination. I have not heard Rocky speak before, but I'm telling you, I can't wait for May 19th, which is the day of our event. And I and my 500 of my closest friends in the room will get to hear him talk.
Amen. Now, the reason we're sharing this is because people in other communities might want to learn from our community how to do this and do it in their community. I know the Detroit area is doing this now, too. Paul, if somebody's interested in this, what's the website? How can they plug in to get more information?
Yeah, our website, Denny, has got a wealth of information about our various events, videos, pictures, other information. And that website that people can go to find out more is armedforcesthx.org. That's armed, A-R-M-E-D, forces, THX. For your listeners, that would be tangohotelxray.org.
Thank you, Paul. Paul, thanks for joining us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. And thank you especially for what you're doing in our community to touch our youth. I'm proud that we're friends.
I am too, Denny. Thank you very much for having me.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to balance on one foot for 3 minutes, then the same thing on the other foot. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com, we are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com, use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum, patriotfoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show my friend Art Doc Attaway. There are sort of two kinds of Army Rangers. I am type one. I went to the Ranger School at Fort Benning, Georgia, way back in 1964, but I never served in a Ranger unit. Then there are those who actually served in a Ranger unit. Doc is one of those. Indeed, he's the former executive vice president of the U.S. Army Ranger Association, a board member of the National Ranger Foundation, and the president of the 75th Ranger Regiment Association. So welcome to the show, Doc. You are a Ranger, bro.
Hooah. Thank you, sir. How are you?
Awesome. Doc, start by telling us about your military service. I got a funny feeling you were a medic at some point, or your nickname wouldn't have been Doc.
Yeah, if you ever ask anyone who served with me, do you know Art Attaway, they'd say, who? So that's why it's still there.
Well,
so people figure that out. But I was one of the earlier members of the 1st Ranger Battalion. I got there at the end of 1974. I did not jump in with the original group, but walked in pretty quickly after that, and my enlistment was fully from 1974 to 1980, 100% with the 1st Ranger Battalion. And then I had a break in service. As a young man, I decided Jimmy Carter wasn't doing us any favors for the military. He's a great humanitarian and a great person, but I didn't see a future, so I got out, and then quickly things turned around, and I re-enlisted into military intelligence and was attached to Forcecom headquarters in 1984. I did that enlistment until 1990. My son was born with a congenital heart defect and had been in the hospital for 58 days when we were being deployed to Desert Shield, and my commander looked at me and said, you got to make a decision one way or the other. So I decided family, and that was the last time I got to be involved with the active duty military.
Okay. That makes sense. Sounds like you didn't get bored. You had plenty to do. Okay. I mentioned three organizations. They're the only ones I know about. There's the U.S. Army Ranger Association, the National Correct. Ranger Foundation, and the 75th Ranger Regiment Association. Sort of talk us through each of those quickly.
Okay. The U.S. Army Ranger Association was created in the 70s, and it was created specifically to be a fraternal brotherhood operation for all Rangers. So regardless whether you served in an active duty unit, went to Ranger school, various attachments qualify you to be in that organization. So it's pretty far reaching out into the Ranger community. The 75th Ranger Regiment Association was created after 1974, and it was created specifically for Scrolled Rangers, Rangers that served in a Ranger unit. So that's the distinction between the two. We have joined forces in terms of sharing membership, communications. Any member of the U.S. Army Ranger Association that qualifies to be in the Ranger Regiment Association is automatically a member, and vice versa. So all of the 75th RRA members are automatically a member of the United States Army Ranger Association. Both fraternal organizations. We do scholarship funds, Ranger assistance fund for people that get knocked on their can temporarily and need, they got a rucksack on their back, need somebody to help them get up. And then we have communicated, a lot of communications. The 75th Ranger Regiment Association has a publication called Patrolling Magazine, and it's published quarterly and is all inclusive of the entire Ranger community. And the Army Ranger Association does a lot of newsletters. They do a distinguished speaker series that's all on podcast and recorded. So that's those two organizations, both 501c19s, which is a military membership organization. The funds, any and all funds that are collected, it's all volunteer. Both of them are all volunteer, no paid employees anywhere. And they take the money and give it to scholarship funds and ranger assistance funds and things of that nature.
Okay, that makes sense. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking Rangers with Dark Adewet. Doc, the one thing we haven't covered yet is the Ranger Foundation. I presume that's a 501c3 that people can donate to?
It is. It's a 501c3. All of these are headquartered in Fort Benning, Columbus, Georgia. The National Ranger Foundation created the National Ranger Monument at Fort Benning and on Fort Benning at Building 4. And we manage and maintain the monument. Specifically, we have a scholarship fund that we donate scholarships annually out. But the purpose of that organization is to take care of the Ranger legacy. So we are focused on the historical aspect of it. And any Ranger can buy a stone to be put in the ground. There are over 10,000 stones in the ground already, but we've got another 45,000 spaces available. It's a massive monument, and it was created in the early 90s. So the monument itself is about 30-some-odd years old now. We just went through a major restoration project for it over the last 3 years. It had fallen into some degree of disrepair, we felt, and so we took corrective action, and it's back to a standard that Rangers can be proud of.
That's great. I guess one thing for the people listening who aren't really sure what a Ranger is, an Army Rangers, we're a form of special operations people, right?
Well, we are currently, yes, we're members of JSOC, Joint Special Operations Command, and we are considered a Tier 2 Special Operations unit. So Tier 1 would be SEAL Team 6 and what was formerly known as Delta Force. And then there's a CIA unit that's a Tier 1 unit. Then Tier 2 is all of the Rangers, all of the rest of the SEAL teams, and so on and so forth. And then Tier 3 would be the 82nd Airborne, the 101st Airborne, Big Army stuff. So that's the way it's characterized. But Tier 1 and Tier 2 are all special operations forces.
They go where nobody else wants to go and work independently usually. Doc, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. And thank you for what you're doing now to keep these organizations going and functioning and supporting the people who have served and who are serving. That's really important, and I'm proud that we're friends and that I can support you in what you're doing.
Same back, brother. Godspeed, and take care of yourself.
Yes, sir. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty, and we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Welcome back to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. And it's time for the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. Welcome, Brother Chris. I always enjoy our talks and I always learn things. Glad you could join us.
Always a pleasure, Danny. I really enjoy these little episodes.
Chris, again, let's start with just a quick review of your time in Mother Army.
Okay. Like you, I graduated from West Point. I'm just younger and more handsome than you are. So I graduated in 87, went active duty, did aviation as a branch, lived the dream, you know, doing all the normal ladder rungs for a commissioned officer with platoon leader, commander, battalion S3, battalion 3, commander. I got lucky and took a unit to Iraq as a commander, which was a sort of a career-changing thing for me during the height of the war, because it was a pretty intense aviation mission over there at that point in time. So did that. And then, you know, one thing led to another, an opportunity presented itself. And before you know it, I'm a colonel and then I'm a general and I'm doing staff work and I'm doing command in NATO and Bosnia and I'm working on the Army staff, learning how the Army thinks and budgets and operates. And then I'm at Northcom to finish it out as a deputy J3 for operations. So fascinating, rewarding career. Wouldn't trade a day of it.
Hey, that I relate to totally. Okay, the Battle of the Month. We're going to do the Alamo. What a great story. That is such an interesting story. It has so much impact. Take us there, brother.
Okay.
The background.
Yeah, so the Alamo, it really is an American legend. So every American should at least understand this thing. So interestingly enough, this one actually happened in March, so it's appropriate for the monthly Battle of the Month. 187 years ago, the Alamo was a 13-day siege that ended in a massacre. It was Lieutenant Colonel William Barrett Travis and Colonel James Bowie, sort of a dual command, versus General Santa Anna from Mexico. Now, why should Americans know this battle? Well, as we kind of talked about, it's legendary. Legendary last stand, demonstrating patriotism and courage and determination, all those wonderful qualities that Americans love. But it's also the most famous battle of the Texas Revolution, so it should be noted for that as well. And really, the strategic effect of this battle was it really galvanized the public sentiment against Mexico and for Sam Houston's fledgling force in Texas and created Texas victory just a few weeks later. So that's why Americans should know this battle.
Yes, that's very true. The people who are living in Mexico, in the Texas part of Mexico, mm-hmm. or a lot of them were Americans, mm-hmm. and that Texas decided they wanted to take a shot at independence. They're That's not right. the only part of the world that has done that. And all of a sudden, we've got a revolution going on. Well, we That's don't. Right. The people living in Texas have a revolution going on.
That's right. And they're very proud of this history. So I'll give you the quick overview. So after Mexico gained independence from Spain in 1831, President Santa Anna began really centralizing control, restricting freedoms, raising taxes, restricting American settlements in Mexico. And these restrictions kind of inflamed a growing independence movement that was already happening in Texas, both from the Tejanos, which were the Mexican residents, and the Texians, who were the American settlers. So both groups started building the secessionist kind of mentality. So in the fall of 1835, Santa Anna sent a smaller force, 500 soldiers, to kind of reestablish order, stamp out some rebellious acts. And it was beaten back by a Texas citizen army. So the war had already kind of begun with these little skirmishes that happened with the you know, the rebels seizing some cannons and things like that. Now, Sam Houston, a famous historical figure, especially if you're in Texas, Sam Houston tried to prepare for a war that he knew was coming, but he needed time to raise volunteers and recruit. He wasn't planning to defend the Alamo. It was too vulnerable. So there was 100 men occupying the fort under the command of Colonel James Neal. So Santa Anna dispatched James Bowie, another famous historical name, with 30 men to destroy the Alamo and remove the cannons. But in classic American fashion, when Bowie arrived, he disobeyed orders. And he and Neal decided that they were going to defend the Alamo. And they only had 110 men at this point. So they sent out calls for reinforcements. They did remarkable work fortifying the position, placing cannons and things of the Alamo. And on 3 February, Lieutenant Colonel William Travis rides in with 30 men. And for some reason, Neal took leave, the commander. So Travis took command. The next day, a dozen more men, led by the famous Davy Crockett, another good name in this battle, led the Tennessee Mounted Volunteers in. But they never had more than around 200 men for this whole thing. So you've got to think about that. Now, meanwhile, back in Mexico, Santa Anna is furious. He puts together a large army, like 4,000 to 6,000 troops is the best estimate historians have. But they didn't have time to train, and they just headed north. So they arrived. They surprised the Texans on 23 February with this large army coming into San Antonio. And this starts a 13-day siege. Now, the siege is a story unto itself, which I don't have time to go about, but it was artillery. And, you know, the movies that we've seen recently in the last 10, 15 years do a pretty good job of sort of setting the stage and showing that artillery duel and stuff of the siege. But Santa Anna finally launched his full assault with around 1,800 men at 5:30 in the morning on 6 March, so 187 years ago. The four columns attacked different sides of the fort. The first two attacks failed. The third attack almost failed, but his 400-man reserve veteran unit kind of made the difference, and men began pouring over the walls. And the last fight, the famous last fight near the chapel, which everyone believes was Davy Crockett's men defending the chapel to the end. But the Mexican soldiers took no prisoners. They bayoneted everyone, went to room to room. It was a nasty, heroic kind of last stand for the Texans. And the battle only lasted about an hour. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
That is in a nutshell. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. However, that became the launching of the revolution, really, because remember, the Alamo became the cry that led to the ultimate victory of Texan becoming an independent country first, and then later on becoming a state.
That's right. In fact, this is one of the great, as a military guy studying this stuff, it's one of these great examples of tactical victory creates strategic defeat. Just like, you know, when Sitting Bull beat Custer at Little Bighorn, I mean, it just guaranteed his ultimate defeat because of public sentiment. And it's the same thing that Santa Anna did here. The sacrifice and his cruelty and take no quarter, take no prisoners mentality really backfired. And what it did was it inflamed the Texans. And so Sam Houston got all the volunteers he needed for his victory at San Jacinto just weeks later. And the soldiers were literally saying, "Remember the Alamo," running into battle. So absolutely, the catalyst for victory in the Texas Revolution.
It did. Chris, before I let you go, talk to us about Battle Digest. That's a great tool.
Yeah, it's a great tool. It's so simple. It really makes military history and really U.S. history in general, because so much of it is actually, you know, captured in military history, so easy. Yeah, I've dedicated my retirement to creating this publication. And I just hope your listeners would take the time to go to battledigest.com, just battledigest.com, and just check it out, because it's inexpensive. And I mail it to you once a quarter, or you can order all the back issues and stuff. And it's just a simple, concise way to learn this great history.
Yes, it is. And battledigest.com, right?
That's it. It's that simple.
Chris, thank you. Thank you for your service to our nation and for being a great part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. I'm proud that we're friends.
Me too, Danny. And thanks for your service. And it's always a pleasure to be with you.
So troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. That's PTSDlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? I want your Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
$30 trillion in debt, 20 years of endless war, and veterans not able to get the care they deserve. These are some of the issues Concerned Veterans for America is confronting head-on. At CVA, we aim to amplify the veteran perspective to create a better future for all Americans. But we need your help. Join CVA in shaping a better tomorrow for you, your family, and your community. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement. That's cv4a.org.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it is mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please do send your thoughts to me at Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or by Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Colonel, Mary Ellen, a Marine mom, can't believe the lies that have been told us about the January 6th riot, and people are still in jail, and the liars behind all this are still free. Is this the nation her sons are protecting?
Mary Ellen, justice clearly hasn't been done yet. Let's keep working on our elected representatives until the illegally jailed protesters are free and the liars are in jail. I stand with you.
And Navy vet Hank was laughing about the renaming of the Army forts. Our nation is broke, and they're spending money to change names that have been good for 150 years. What's wrong with these people?
Hank, the folks running our nation don't seem to have any common sense. There's a start. Okay, now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, Colonel, on 23 March 1775, during a speech before the Second Virginia Convention, Patrick Henry responded to the increasingly oppressive British rule over the American colonies by declaring, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Following the signing of the Declaration of Independence, a year later, on 4 July 1776, Patrick Henry was appointed governor of Virginia by the Continental Congress.
And on the 22nd of March, 1820, Navy officer Stephen Decatur, hero of the Barbary Wars, was mortally wounded in a duel with disgraced Navy Commodore James Barron at Bladensburg, Maryland. Although once friends, Decatur sat on a court-martial that suspended Barron from the Navy for 5 years in 1808 and later opposed his reinstatement. This led to a fatal quarrel between the two men. Decatur agreed to Barron's request to meet for a duel. Dueling, though generally frowned on, was still acceptable among Navy men. Decatur and Barron filled their guns, fired, and each man hit his target. Decatur died several hours later, and the nation mourned the loss of a great naval hero. Barron recovered from his wounds and was reinstated into the Navy in 1821 with diminished rank.
And on 24 March 1864, during the Civil War, a closely coordinated Army-Navy expedition departed Beaufort, North Carolina, on board sidewheel steamer USS Britannia. Some 200 soldiers were commanded by Colonel James Jordan, while about 50 sailors were in the charge of Commander Benjamin Dove. The goal was the capture or destruction of two schooners used in blockade running at Swansboro, North Carolina, and the capture of a Confederate Army group on the south end of Bogue Island Banks. Arriving late at night, the expedition encountered high winds and heavy seas, which prevented landing on the beach. Early on the next morning, a second attempt was made under similar conditions, but a party got through to Bear Creek, where one of the schooners was burned. Bad weather persisted throughout the day, and the expedition eventually returned on the 26th with its mission only partially completed.
That would have been frustrating, you know? Okay, on 24 March 1903, George Dewey was commissioned Admiral of the Navy with the date of rank of March 1899, 2 years earlier. He was the only person to ever hold this rank.
And on 22 March 1944, during World War II, Nazi Admiral Dönitz ordered all U-boats, German submarines, to stop working in groups and to work singly. This decision represented the final victory of the Allied escort forces over the German U-boats. The Germans decided to give up on convoy attacks until new U-boat designs became available.
And they didn't become available during the war. Hurrah. And on the 24th of March, 1944, during World War II, 76 Allied officers escaped German Stalag Luft III. In 1949, Paul Brickall authored The Great Escape, the story of Jackson Barrett Mahone, an American fighter pilot, and the Allied POW escape from Stalag Luft III. The 1963 film The Great Escape starred Steve McQueen and was based on the true story.
Colonel, I'm going to have to watch that movie again. I just love that show.
Amen.
And on 24 March 1958, Elvis Presley was inducted into the Army. Although he had been drafted the previous December, the Army granted him a deferral so he could finish shooting his film, King Creole. He served honorably and earned the rank of sergeant before the end of his two-year tour.
He was a good soldier. And on 23 March 1961, one of the first American casualties in Southeast Asia, an intelligence gathering plane en route from Laos to Saigon, was shot down over the Plain of Jars in central Laos. The mission was flown in an attempt to determine the extent of the Soviet support being provided to the communist Pathet Lao guerrillas in Laos. The guerrillas had been waging a war against the Royal Lao government since 1959. In a television news conference, President John Kennedy warned of communist expansion in Laos and said that a ceasefire must precede the start of negotiations to establish a neutral and independent nation. And that never happened.
And on 21 March 1967, during the Vietnam War, Operation Junction City produced what General Westmoreland described as one of the most successful single actions of the year. In the effort, U.S. forces killed 606 Viet Cong in Tay Ninh Province and surrounding areas along the Cambodian border northwest of Saigon. The purpose of Operation Junction City was to drive the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese troops away from populated areas and into the open where superior American firepower could be more effectively used against them. It did exactly that.
It did, too. And on 24 March 1988, former National Security aides Oliver North and John Poindexter and businessmen Richard Secord and Albert Halkin pleaded innocent to Iran-Contra charges. North and Poindexter were convicted, but had their convictions thrown out. Secord and Heckam received a probation after each pled guilty to a single count under a plea bargain.
And on 24 March 2003, during the Gulf War, Saddam Hussein appeared on Iraqi TV telling his nation that victory is soon. He was wrong, Colonel.
He was. And on 24 March 2005, Canada denied a U.S. deserter's bid for asylum. They let an awful lot of them in, but I guess they got tired of them. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
This is really goofy. An intoxicated 45-year-old motorist crashed through a fence before ditching his pickup in a grove of trees in Lakeland, Florida. He then tried to board a school bus right after a child had been picked up, but the driver quickly locked the door and drove off, keeping all the children safe. The suspect then jumped onto two different cars, breaking the windshield of the second one. One driver noticed blood on the suspect and called the police, while the other said the man was growling before jumping off his car and running away. The agitated man reportedly went on to break through the front door of a nearby home where a family of five was relaxing. Upon entering the living room, he appeared to be wild and out of control, according to a family member. When the suspect threatened them with a large piece of broken glass, the homeowner retrieved his firearm, then fired as the intruder threw the glass at him. Upon arrival, deputies attempted first aid and then transported the crazed man to a local hospital where he's pronounced dead.
Well, thanks, Colonel. This bizarre story is a great opportunity for us to discuss three factors that are wild cards in the self-defense world, simply because they change everything. Incidents like this one, a sudden and violent crime spree, can occur without warning and are becoming more and more prevalent. One of these crime sprees happened just last year in my own rural hometown, so they can happen anywhere and at any time. First, let's talk about alcohol abuse. Even though alcohol consumption is legal, it's not always wise. Think about it this way. Do you get smarter or dumber with every drink? Does your judgment improve or degrade? The honest answer is that alcohol consumption reduces your ability to make sound, rational decisions. It also takes away your inhibitions and emboldens people to do things that they wouldn't normally do. That's why alcohol is called liquid courage. Second, drug use is also a wild card. The man in this story was intoxicated with alcohol and thought it was a good idea to hurt people and break the law in an attempt to procure more drugs. People with drug addictions will do just about anything to get that next high. It drives them to commit violence, to break things, and even to kill other people. There are certain drugs that make a normal person feel invincible and will cause them to attack fearlessly and relentlessly. There are reports from battlefields of warlords giving out opium to their soldiers just before an attack. These drug-fueled attackers are pushed to the brink and will keep fighting until every ounce of blood is gone from their bodies. And the third wild card is that of mental illness. In 2019, approximately 20% of all adults in the United States experienced a mental illness, according to Mental Health America. That number continued to grow throughout the COVID pandemic as people were isolated inside their homes and unable to go about their daily lives. The use of antidepressants in the U.S. has skyrocketed in the last 5 years as people struggle to maintain some semblance of mental health. All three of these were probably a factor in today's story. Drug and alcohol abuse, as well as mental illness, are mind-altering and cause a once normal person to commit crimes of violence that they wouldn't otherwise do. Frontlines of Freedom commends the armed homeowner in this story who was able to end this crime spree before innocent people were hurt or killed. We also thank the bus driver for his quick thinking as he closed the door and saved all those children from emotional trauma and physical injury. While there are no quick fixes to these problems, we recommend all law-abiding citizens get trained and get armed so you have the tools to protect yourself and your family as our world gets more and more dangerous.
Yes, Skip, and in your and my state, Michigan, the legislature is now trying to make it harder to have a weapon to defend yourself.
That's right, Colonel. We got to fight that.
We do, in every state. Our movie of the month is entitled Zero. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog to get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd really appreciate getting your comments about it. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, retired Navy Chaplain Bruce Anderson will discuss the challenges of dealing with multiple denominations. Then Judge Mark Boonstra will discuss his book on today's values. We'll talk with David Brown, a former Navy SEAL who's 5'3" tall. And then Steve Udovich will present the Iraq-Afghanistan Memorial. And Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival will review the movie of the month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase this book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.